Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
So please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we exalt you and magnify you. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you have your cell phones, fax machines, and scanners, can you please put them on the silent mode? Amen. Or turn them off. Last week, we had a call from Jesus. Amen. I said, please, I just started, Lord. I'll be done in a little bit. No, don't worry. I won't blast you up here. I won't say your name. Who should have turned it off? Praise God. Praise God. Well, I'm excited about this morning's message. I've entitled it, El Gibor, Our Mighty and Strong God. Our Mighty and Strong God. We're going to look at the life of King David. And one of the things that he understood, because he was a man of war. He was a man of bloodshed. This is why he could never build the temple. Because he killed too many people. But yet, he was chosen by God. And God loved him. Praise God. But one of the things he relates to God is a stronghold and buckler. A buckler and shield. I need you to catch that. A shield and buckler, or buckler and shield. Okay, so what do you see up here? You see on the inside, there's a grip handle. And then what do you see on the outside? It looks like a shield, right? But it's not a big chest shield. It's a little one right there by your hand. And notice there's like a bubble on the top of that, right? Okay, well, that bubble can do a whole lot of damage, especially in fighting battles. Okay, so I need you to understand this. No matter how close the enemy gets to you, Jesus will fight your battle. Amen. Thank you, Lord. This is why King David said, you are my shield and buckler. Amen. So let's look at the scriptures, and then we're going to have the Lord have his way. Amen? So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalms 18, 1 through 6. And then we're going to jump down to Psalms 91 when we get there. So let's read the word. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. Say that with me. My deliverer. Saints of God, Jesus is the one that will deliver us in our generation. The past 2,000 years, God's been pouring out his Spirit, and many are coming to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. Amen. Worthy. So shall I, what? Be saved from my enemies. Amen. Praise God. King David had thousands of enemies. Thousands of enemies. Well, let me just say this. Hell has unleashed, and there are millions of fallen angels now on this planet. Look at the chaos. Look at the murders. Right after the Super Bowl, 20 people got shot. Come on, every day there's a mass murder if you add up the numbers. We're living in a time of wickedness. We're living in a time of Lot. Jesus said it would be like the days of Lot and Noah. Both of them were perverted. Both of them were very, 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 very violent. And a lot of bloodshed was taking place. In the days of Noah, in the days of Lot, Jesus pointed those two time frames to correlate that we would see this in the generation that we're living in now. So everything now is coming together. We're seeing it, like Jesus said. Okay? So this is the time that men and women need to get right before God before Jesus comes and takes the church home. And how many believe he's around the corner? I do. Amen. Jesus is about to come. This is why God is extending his life ring. You ever go on a cruise and they got a bunch of life rings out there? Or even swimming pools. They got life rings. Why? In case someone's drowning, they throw out you a life ring. Jesus is our life ring. And he wants to save us. Amen? Look at this, verse 4. The pangs of death surround me, and the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. Listen, this is what the enemy wants to do. He wants to frighten you. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. Sheol means a type of hell. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God, and he heard my voice from his temple. And my cry came before him, even to his ears. I'm here to let you know God will hear your cry. If you are truly crying out to God with a heart of repentance, yes, not to just get you out of the situation so that you could go back to the same. No. What he's looking for is a heart that will truly repent. Meaning, if you're involved with drugs, alcohol, sexual immorality, whatever the case may be, he's looking for a heart to repent, to turn from that, and then turn to him, and turn to him with your full heart. That's when he will do the miraculous in your life. And he will show you great and mighty things to come. Can I get amen? Amen. Now look at Psalms 91. Look at this. Very familiar verse of scripture. Some of you have it on your refrigerator door. Some of you may have it in your Bible. But look at this. In Psalms 91, 3 through 6, surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the what? Perilous pestilence. Let me ask you this question, saints of God. Did any one of us die when the plague hit? I'm talking about COVID. We're still here, aren't we? Hallelujah. Come on, someone's got to give God a shout of praise. Because there were many people that died. But we're still here, praise God. Because he has a plan for you. When God has a plan for you, he's not going to let you go. He ain't going to let you die. It'll be too soon. And God will make sure he will chase away that plague from you. Can I get amen? Amen. Look at that. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. We just saw that. The shield and buckler. My goodness, look at verse 5. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. Wow. So, I want you to look at this. We got to look at this a little closer. That's what that shield and buckler looks like. It's got that knob in the center, and it's held tight. It's not extended out like this. It's held tight. So it's almost like a boxing glove. You can jab it. And you can break someone's nose and jaw and really do some damage when they get close. Well, this is what God does. When the enemy comes, bam!
Thank you, Lord.
The enemy thought he had you? What? But Jesus shoot him off. Can I get amen?
Amen.
See, he doesn't send him down to hell yet because it's not time. But he will chase them away from you.
Thank you.
Can I get amen? Oh, yes, he will. That's the inside grip. This was a serious, David describes this as a serious weapon, what they used back then. It saved their lives many times. So he identified God as his shield and buckler.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
So that's the front side, the inside. Praise God. Praise God. You see, in ancient times, shields were very large. They were used to hide behind during an attack, usually from arrows or spears that were being thrown by the enemy. But the buckler was a small shield that usually fit on the wrist or the forearm of the soldier and was used in hand-to-hand combat. A buckler refers to a small round shield used for close contact fighting. A shield is much larger, one you can dig into the ground and hide behind when spears and arrows or rocks being launched at you in a bigger attack. And let me just say this. Old Slewfoot will come at you with different angles. He'll come at you with a small attack and a big attack. No differently. Oh, that's right. So whether it is a small or big attack, his truth, your shield and buckler covers you completely. Praise God. I need you to catch this. I need you to see that God has his shield and buckler over your life. Over your life. Can I get amen? David used terms that were very expressive of his own experiences in the Lord God Almighty. In times of extreme danger, he called out to God for help, and the Lord wonderfully delivered him. Why? Because King David had a heart after him. Let me just say this. If you are the called out ones that have a heart after God, he will deliver you every time. Because you are his. He's responsible now for you. Can I get amen? You are his child. You've been born again. You've been born from above. So he has adopted you into his family. So guess what? He's responsible for your life now. Can I get amen? Your parents did a great job and they did all they could. But guess what? It ended after you became an adult. When you get saved, now God becomes your father. Hallelujah. And when we find ourselves in deep distress, we can also look to the Lord for deliverance as we lift our voices in praise and adoration. Have you ever heard this said before? Praise will see you through.
Amen.
A lot of times when you feel oppressed, a lot of times when you feel like anxiety has hit you, you feel like you're lonely, you feel like someone's done you wrong, you feel like life's not fair. You know how you get out of that situation? You start praising God.
Right.
Hallelujah. You start worshiping him. You're saying, you know what? Despite of that, I'm going to praise my King. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He's from everlasting to everlasting. He is the God that delivered me from the guttermost to the uttermost. He's the God that saved me, hallelujah, when I couldn't save myself. Come on. You got to know how to praise him and worship the King, because he's worthy to be praised. He's worthy. Worthy, worthy. Our spiritual experiences and individual struggles have been foreshadowed by those of King David. His emotions have become our emotions, and his God has become our God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So, we need to look at David's declaration. Number one, David's love for God. Let me ask you, saints, how many can raise your hand and say you love God? Amen. Praise God. Well, I'm here to let you know, he loves you more than you could ever love him. He loves us more than we could ever love. Because our love is not agape love yet. You know what agape love means? Unconditional. Here on earth, we put stipulations. I'll love you because of this, but I won't love you because of that. You see, that's not agape love. Agape love is he loves you despite of yourself.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Aren't you so blessed that he loves you despite of yourself? Because some of us are corrupt on the inside. Oh, that's right. So what made David great? Was it superior intelligence? He was a very good general. Was it military prowess? Was it a pleasant personality?
Nope.
Was he good and moral?
No.
No.
No. He was looking at all kinds of Bathshebas.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, you know that. Soon as one came into his eyes. Oh, that's right. Perhaps Psalms 18:35 answers the question as well as any other portion of Scripture. David exclaimed this in Psalms 18:35 through 36. It says, "You have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great. You enlarged my path under me, so my feet did not slip." It was God. It was God that elevated him. It was God that allowed him to prosper. It was God that protected him. It was God that gave him wisdom and knowledge. And this is what God wants to do in your life.
Yes, he does.
You know why? Because he loves you. He wants to see you succeed. Some of you right now are in that crossroads of, man, do I really go all the way with God? Or do I kind of like just have one foot in the church and one foot in the club? God's going to say one day, choose whom you will serve this day. Are you going to serve me with your whole heart, soul, and mind? Or are you going to run with the devil on Friday and Saturday and then come in on Sunday and say, praise the Lord? Oh, come on. Am I telling the truth?
Yeah.
Listen, if you come here, you're going to hear the truth.
That's right.
I can't play patty cake with you. I can't. You know why? Because we learn Wednesday. As a teacher, I'm doubly accountable. I got to stand before God. I'm accountable. God's going to say, why didn't you tell them? They were going down the ditch and you didn't pull them out. Wow. No, I want to. When I get to the pearly gates, I want to hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And that's what you want to hear God say to you. No differently. There's no big I's and little U's in the kingdom of God. Look what 2 Samuel says right up here. Then David dwelt in the stronghold and called in the city of David. And David built all around from the Milo and inward. So David went on and became great. And the Lord God of hosts was what? With him. Listen, God was with him the whole time. If God is with you, guess what? The gates of hell cannot prevail against you. If God is with you, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises up against you, God will condemn it. Can I get amen? I don't care what so-and-so said about you. I don't care what you've done. God, hallelujah, will cover you by his grace. And guess what? When you truly surrender to Jesus and you give your whole heart, guess what he does? He takes your sin and remembers it no more. What a deal. And it's the only deal. Hallelujah. Just imagine knowing that all the hideous things we've ever done. Some of us maybe not got a gun and shoot someone, but we murdered them in our heart. Maybe we never committed adultery, but we did it in our mind. God forgives all that. And he doesn't remember that no more. Wow. What a mighty God. You see, saints, it is in the presence of God that distinguishes a life and makes it truly renowned. Only the Lord's anointing can make an individual rise to the highest levels of spiritual prominence. The Lord, speaking through Nathan the prophet, reminded David there here in 2 Samuel 7. And I have been with you wherever you have gone and have cut off your what? All your enemies from before you and have made you a great name like the name of the great men who are on earth. How many want to hear that from God? Woo, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Give me a moment. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at verse 10 says, Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, and they may dwell in a place of their own, and have no more, no shall the sons of wickedness oppress them any more as previously. Listen, this is what God will do in your life. He will bind the wicked man from your life. Can I get amen?
Thank you, Father.
You see, the enemy, Jesus said, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I've come to give life and life more abundantly.
Amen.
Look at verse 11 right here. Since the time I commanded judges to be over my people Israel and have caused you to rest from all your enemies, also the Lord tells you that he will make you a house. Praise God. This is why we want to give you that anointing oil next week.
Yes.
So that you can anoint your house. Listen, I don't care if you're just living in a room or an apartment. Anoint your place.
Yes.
Pray in the Spirit. Bind the enemy that will try to come and oppress you. Praise God. Secondly, King David said, God is my rock. Is he your rock?
Yes, he is. Thank you, Lord.
And we're not talking about the rock in Liberty Station. We're talking about, is he your solid rock? Are you standing on the rock?
Yes, I am.
Hallelujah. You see, saints, the landscape in the wilderness of En Gedi. And how many of you been to En Gedi? Yes. Hallelujah. En Gedi is going down to the Dead Sea in Israel. Sister Yolanda and I, we've been there, I don't know, many times. At least 10. We've been down there to En Gedi. And down below is where the Dead Sea is, where you can float and not worry about drowning. You can just sit in the water and you're floating like a cork. But on the other side of that are these mountain ranges. And you walk up several tiers. And that's called the Mountains of En Gedi. And as you climb up, you get to your first tier. And there's a big, huge waterfall. Beautiful. You go in the water and stand underneath the water. Fresh water coming down on you. And then you climb a little further. And you get to the second tier, and there's another waterfall. And you get to the highest level, and oh my gosh, it's so beautiful. There's like a big, huge pond. You go swimming underneath. So there's three waterfalls. And that's where King David hid in Gedi. So when you're there, you're going, wow, this is where he hid out. Because there's little caves in there. He hid. From who? From Saul that was chasing him. So En Gedi is a place, it's a real place, it's still there today. And if you ever go on another tour, when that war ends over there, hopefully we could go again, you will love En Gedi. You will love to go in that water. And you could drink the water coming out. It's so clean and pure. Wow. It is. And so, this En Gedi, where David spent many days as a fugitive, is covered with yellow chalky sand and huge wave-like rock formations and waterfalls. Wow. But look what he wrote about this in Psalms 18, 1 and 2. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my what? Deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My shield and the horn of my salvation. God was his stronghold. Praise God. You see, my friends, David had come to realize that only God could be his defense. A rock was a place of protection from the attacks of an enemy. And so, saints, what an impressive descriptive figure of speech David used. Our God, say that with me, our God is our rock. Amen. You see, saints, his strength is unchanging and impenetrable. Nothing. When God has covered you and he's blocking the enemy, guess what? Nothing can penetrate that. He is your shield and your all in all. Only he can protect us from the enemy of our souls. He alone is the believer's strength and security. Did you know that only God can destroy the soul? The devil can't destroy your soul. Nothing in this, even if a nuclear bomb hit our city and we disintegrate it, your soul is still alive. Only God can destroy your soul. And who are the souls that get destroyed? The ones that have rejected Jesus. Look at this in Psalms. Look at that. Psalm 61:2. Look at that. From the end of the earth, I will cry to you when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. How many of you have been in that place where you really needed God? Oh, come on. Praise God, I never did time, but I have family members that had done a lot of time. And I remember their stories. They'd be crying in their cell. They wish they could have a free day like us. You know, we take our freedom here, you know, as for granted. But when you're locked up, you have to be worried about getting shanked, getting poisoned. What people do I hang with? You hang with the wrong ones, then the other ones won't want you. Why? Because it's a den of demons in there. And there's people that get saved in there, trust me. They get saved. And the ones that get saved, it seems like they hang with each other. And God puts a shield about them. Well, here's the thing. When you get saved, the Holy Ghost comes in, and now you're as gentle as a lamb. You're not looking at folk, what up? What's up? No. You become humble. God does a heart change. And now, the one that was looking at you hardcore, you come and share the love of God with them. And it should come naturally, automatically. Because God is good. How many believe we serve a mighty good God? Hallelujah. Number three, look at this. God is my fortress. My fortress. When David spoke of his fortress, he was saying that God was his castle, a type of defense with a high moat. Can I get an amen? With walls around it. Thank you, God. No, look at this, saints. No mountain fortress could prove as strong as the Lord. That's why God... See, David uses these things as metaphors. He's painting you a picture to let you know how mighty God is in his life and your life. Praise God. The mountain fortress could prove as strong as the Lord. There was no refuge as secure as God. Look what he wrote in Psalms right up here. Psalms 31, 1 through 5. He said, in you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. Bow down your ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be my rock of refuge, a fortress of defense to save me. For those of you that don't know, that 35 years ago, a custodian from Horizon Christian Fellowship led me to this place. The rock. I had $500 of crystal meth in my sock. I had weed in the other pocket. I was lit up, tore up from the floor up. I had my walking papers. The lady I was married to at the time gave me my divorce walking papers. My job at Western Lumber wanted to terminate me because I was partying all night and coming in late in the morning. So everything was crashing and I didn't know what to do no more. And then God said, okay, now I'm coming down to rescue him. Amen. See, I don't care what you've done in life. Can I get an amen? I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. God will come and save you. Can I get an amen? And change you. And then he will make you a little puppy dog wagging his tail. Oh, that's right. You ever bring home a new little puppy and it's just wagging? It's so happy to see you. Yeah. Even if you have to chastise it because it peed right there. They'll come back after you go, okay, come on. And they'll still wag their tail at you. They hold, you know what? Dogs hold no grudges against you. They're loyal. They love you. Well, this is what King David understood. That God loved him so much. In all of his hiccups, all of his messes, God still came by and washed him and cleansed him. Look at what it says here in verse 3. He wrote this. For you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me. For you are my strength. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth. You see, when King David found out that all he had now was God, guess what? That's all he really needed. God allowed him to use all of his resources until he had nothing left. You see, and that's what God does. After we have done everything despicable in our life, and we got nothing left to do, he comes and saves us when we cry out to him. You know why? Because number four, God is our deliverer. He's my deliverer. Is he your deliverer? Ask yourself, is he your deliverer? The sweetest songs to our ears should be the songs of deliverance after we have been gloriously set free. For 35 years now, God has just renewed my mind. And so in my, especially in what I listen to, I'll listen to messages, but guess what I fill my mind with? Praise and worship. I don't listen to the world stuff no more. You know why? Because it entices you to sin. It causes you to remember what God's delivered you from. And the enemy wants you to go back and wallow in that. And try to make you forget what God has done for you. But here's the thing. He gradually does it. He sanctifies you. For me, it was maybe 3 weeks into my salvation. I went into my room. I had over 350 CDs and albums. All R&B, funk, and jazz. And I trashed it all. I had to get rid of it. I didn't want this no more. It was like nails on a chalkboard when I would listen to it. You guys remember evangelist Felipe Reyes? His testimony was this. He had just got saved, just got filled with the Holy Ghost. And he was still an actor in Hollywood. And he was still a DJ in Hollywood. He did DJ and acting. And here he is filled with the Holy Ghost. And he already had a gig before he got saved. And so he went there with his partner. And they were grabbing albums and putting them down and trying to get the crowd to, you know, to start dancing. And so he grabbed one. It was by Rick James. And he put it down, and he put the needle on it, and then God spoke to him and said, "That offends me." So he stopped it, he picked it up, and he broke it over his knee. So he got another one. And then he got another one. And he kept breaking them over his knee. He said, "I can't do this no more." He told his partner to take over. He never did that again. But he must have busted in half 5 albums. They didn't have CDs back then. They didn't have USBs. Nothing was digital back. It was all vinyl. And he busted at least 5 or 6 and left. He was done. He even walked away from Hollywood. But while he was there, he found his wife, beautiful wife. She was Janet Jackson's right-hand lady. Yes. I remember went to their wedding. It was a hush-hush wedding at North Park. Oh, Janet Jackson came down with her entourage. She was the maid of honor. And Aunt Therese is the one that married Brother Felipe Reyes, and they had 3 beautiful kids. The son is an engineer at NASA. The daughter is a brain surgeon in Minnesota. And the youngest one, Abigail, she's an evangelist for Bethel Church in Florida. I mean, they were homeschooled. They were homeschooled, and all that was sown into them was the righteousness of God. God raised them up. And God honored Aunt Teresa and Evangelist Felipe Reyes. Why? Because they honored God in all they did. So guess what? He goes, because you honored me, I'm going to bless your kids. And he's done that. And he did the same for me. My kids are blessed. I saw that pattern. I go, we're gonna raise our kids. Praise God. God's good. How many believe God's good? You see, no one, no matter how talented, can praise God like those who have been delivered from sin's bondage. You could be, I don't know, who was playing last week's halftime?
Usher.
Okay. You could be a guy like Usher, but guess what? Who were millions and millions, you know. And yet, some kid that lives down the street that just got delivered by the Holy Ghost will praise God with his whole heart, soul, and mind, beyond what this guy accolades received. You know why? Because the Bible says, when one sinner repents, all of heaven, hallelujah, rejoices. The choir in heaven, all the angels. Your name is shout from the bow across heaven. Hallelujah. The word of God says, when one sinner repents, the heavens rejoice. Hallelujah. I'd rather have heaven, hallelujah, rejoicing. Praise God. You can keep, you know what? These people that come up there and get all this, that's all they get. They may get some dollars in their pocket, but that's it. But that'll burn up too. I'd rather have heaven. I'd rather have God and the angels, hallelujah, rejoicing. Oh, my son, my daughter, they just surrendered their heart. And they're going to be with me forever.
Thank you, Lord.
Wow. For eternity. Come on. Thank you, God. No university of music and no gifted instructor can teach a person how to praise God from the heart. Notes sung under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost are unrivaled.
That's right.
They spring from a well of gratitude. Can I get an amen? Amen. Look at what King David wrote right up here in Psalms 32. Look at this. You are my hiding place.
Yes.
You shall preserve me from trouble.
Yes.
You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. Yes. I will instruct you and you teach. And look at this. And teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. This is what God said he would do for him. This is what God said he'll do for you. And this is what I can truly say, what God has been doing for me. Praise God. Praise God. And then he went down. We got two more points to cover. But look at this. He said, God is my God. Praise God. Saints, fervently David spoke of my God. To him, the Almighty was more than just the God of Israel. Or the God of Abraham. Or Isaac and Jacob. David wanted the whole entire world to know whom he loved and whom he served. He claimed the Lord as his own. Let me just say this. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? Can you share with the world, do you know who my Savior is? Do you know the God that saved me? Do you know the God that wants to save you? Listen, Paul was no longer, when Paul got saved, he no longer was ashamed. He said, I am no longer ashamed of the gospel. You know, many times when we first get saved, we're still a little timid to say anything. But let me just say this. When God comes in you with that anointing and the power of God, You cannot contain it. It'll flow automatically. And you will tell someone about Jesus. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Why? Because he's your God, right? He's your God. Look at this in Psalms 18:25. With the merciful, you will show yourself merciful. And that's what he did for us. Can I get amen? He showed mercy. With a blameless man, you shall show yourself blameless. With the pure, you shall show yourself pure. And with the devious, you will show yourself shrewd. Wow. See, evildoers, they think they're getting away? Never think for one moment that evildoers will get away with what they've done. All these mass shooters, all these doctors that are committing abortions. Do you know how much blood is on their hands? We live in a time of wickedness. 60 million babies aborted. Someone's blood is on someone's hands. Can I get amen? Jesus, have mercy. These things are real, saints of God. And we need to cry out. Did you know? This is the law in California now. If you go in front of a Planned Parenthood and put a sign out and you're protesting the abortion, they will apprehend you and give you a 10-year sentence now. But you can come in with all bunch of homies and go into Macy's, break glasses and windows, and take everything you want, and they just let you go. What? You see, the Bible says in the last days, good will be called evil, and evil will be called good. And that's what we're seeing now. We're seeing everything upside down. We're seeing the enemy at work. We're seeing what the devil wants to do to deceive the church. Do you know the church is deceived?
Yes.
So many churches are asleep. Some church, you know what some churches will do? They'll take someone to the back room and count all the money that came in and come back out and say, you guys didn't give enough.
That's right.
Oh, come on. You've seen that before? Bunch of shenanigans. You know what? Because it's all about us. It's all about me. No, it should be about a soul that needs to be saved.
Come on.
That's why we're here. Someone needs to give their heart to God. Your rewards will come. But if you're in it just for reward, you're in it with the wrong heart. Your heart should be, man, God, save this person from hell. That's right. Because hell is a real place. People are... The Bible says in Isaiah, every day, hell's mouth enlarges because many fall in it. They fall in it because they rejected the love of God. They rejected the Lord Jesus. Help us, God. Look at this in verse 27. For you will save the humble people, but will bring down the haughty looks. You will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop, but my God I can leap over a wall. Look at verse 30. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust him. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? And so, one of the things that David had to encounter in his life, and this became personal to him, was this. David's distress. He was human just like you and I. Even though he was a king and had all these servants before him. And you got to remember, not only did he have so many wives, but he had hundreds of concubines. Oh, come on. And yet, he still wanted more. You know what showed me when I was reading his story? Even though God loved him because he had a heart after God, just reading that of his life shows us what we are. Because we're a people that it's like a bag of chips. You can't eat just one. You ever open up a bag of chips? You can have more than just one, aren't you? In 10 minutes, the bag is gone. Can I get an amen? Well, this guy had all the women he wanted. He still wanted more. Because he was dealing with what? A sin nature. We all have a sinful nature. We may not cross the line to go do what he did, but we thought of it. Because God knows our heart. And he knows what we're made of. This is why we need the new body. How many can't wait for that new body? Listen, when God comes and takes the church home with him, we're going to have a body just like his. We're going to have a body that no longer sins. It won't have a mind that's darkened. It won't have a heart that will lie. It won't cheat. It won't rob and steal. It won't covet. Meaning, I want what you got, and I'm going to get what you got. Listen, there's some folks, they look in their neighbor's backyard and they're building a brand new swimming pool and come home and say, I want one too. Okay, well, you know what? Go take them a pie. They'll let you swim in it. Go be their friend. When's the last time you talked to your neighbor? But David had distresses. And one of them was sorrows of death. He escaped death like no other. Hidden in the rocky crevice, David probably watched his pursuers because they couldn't see him. He saw their shields and spears glistening in the morning sun. He saw their campfires glowing under the evening stars. He faced terror by night and peril by day, such as described right here in Psalms 91. Look at that. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walk in darkness, nor the destruction that lays wayside at noon. Look at this. 1,000. Say that with me. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Listen, let me just say this. All the people that hate God, you cannot change their heart. You share the gospel, you preach to them, you tell them about the love of God, but if they reject it, that's on them, not you. And guess what their reward is? All the way to their last breath. Quick little, short little testimony. How many know who Raul Reese is? Mm-hmm. Pastor Raul Reese. He's got 10,000 at his church in Los Angeles. A family member came to him and said, Pastor Raul, please, please, Pastor Raul, can you go share the gospel to my grandfather? He's dying. They're giving him a few days. So, you know, Raul said, okay, I'm going to go. So he goes into the ICU room and he's still coherent. He can speak. He's got all kinds of monitors on him. And his life is coming to an end. He's got maybe a day left, 2 days left, I don't know. And Raul Reese comes to the bedside, and his family members are with him around the bed. And Raul introduces himself. Hey, this is Raul Reese, I'm their pastor. I come to pray for you. And he says, this is your opportunity to receive Jesus. Do you want to receive him before your life expires? And out of his mouth came cursing. The F-bombs and the D-bombs. How dare you come? I never wanted God and I never want him. And I don't care where I go. And wah, wah, wah. And as he was cursing the man of God out, from the tip of his toes, it lit on fire. Not physical fire, but burning fire on his toes. And it was moving up his legs. And it was moving up. And then he started screaming in agony. He goes, I'm burning. He goes, I'm burning. And then it came up to his neck and he belted out and he screamed his last scream. And then he went flatline. And he said, man, he just slipped right into hell. That burning was, they were dragging his soul into hell. Well, that's a real story. I had to pull over when he was sharing it. Because I was listening to him. He comes on at 6 o'clock on K-Wave. I have an app for K-Wave. And I pulled over. I got to hear this. And man, it left me trembling knowing that I was like that man at one time. I was cursing him. I didn't want nothing to do with God. And yet God in his mercy saved me. I'm believing that there's someone here today that need to give their heart to God. I just sense it. That someone here needs to get saved, needs to be baptized, get filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Get it done and get it right with God. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And let me just say this. When you take a step of faith, God will pick you up and take you the rest of the way. It's not hard. This is not rocket science. He's not going to put you through a 350 written test and you got only can miss three. No, he said, come to me by faith and watch what I'll do. Watch what I'll do. There's some young adults in here, some mid, a little older, that never truly surrender to God. Listen, let me just say this. The Bible says tomorrow is not promised. The doctor said that man had like 4 or 5 days left. No, he died after he rejected with a loud voice. He rejected God, said, God, okay, I'm taking you out now. You don't want me. And it was a sad day. Raul Reese said the family members are by the bedside. Fell on their knees and were just crying out to God, saying, God, they were crying out for mercy. It was too late, though. Real place. You see? David understood this. He understood the sorrows of hell. Look at this and what he wrote in Psalms 18:4. The pangs of death surrounded me, and the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of hell, that's what Sheol means, surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, even to what? His ears. Wow. It seemed to David that he was being drawn into a pit of no return. And sometimes our life looks like there's no hope. But I'm here to let you know there's a mighty hope. Jesus is our only hope. Can I get amen? Because David saw the snares of death. King Saul was the aggressive enemy of King David. And we too have a determined adversary. And what's his name? That's right. No, who's our enemy's name?
Oh, the enemy.
Old Slewfoot himself, Satan himself. Oh, that's right. And he's determined to take you out. The devil, the fowler of our souls, would certainly like to destroy us. Although he entices us into the snare of sin and draws us into the pit of death, Christians should not be his prey. Can I get amen? We're the last ones that he should try to come after. But yet, he goes after the little baby lambs. The ones that just get saved. Man, I don't know any better. He does. This is why if you get saved, be with strong Christian men and women that love God and that will minister to you. That'll raise you up. That won't lead you and misguide you. Some of you got family members that truly love God. How about hanging out more with folks like that than the ones in the world? The ones in the world say, oh man, we need to go get a drink after what you've gone through. Look at this in 2 Timothy. In humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape the what? The snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do whose will? Osluford's will. But King David wrote this, blessed be the Lord who has not given us prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. And so we close with this, David's deliverance. His memory of past deliverances. We're not going to be here long. David, remember what God delivered him from. It's found right here in Psalms. Look at this. He sent from above, he took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He also, what, brought me out into a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. See, God delights in you. You know why we're here today? You know why many of you come back every Sunday, Wednesday night? You know why? Because you have a heart after God. It ain't Pastor Fee. It ain't the church. It's you have a heart after God. And you love God. And because you love God, he's got a mighty plan for you. And he's going to show you great and wonderful things. And so he looked at the assurance of present deliverance. Present deliverance. God stands by us in every situation and provides the necessary strength to endure. How many of you are going through something right now? Raise your hand. Someone's going through a trial right now, I really believe. I'm here to let you know that God will see you through.
Amen.
You've heard this, and let it not be cliche. You've probably heard this many times. Let go and let God. Well, you know what? Let go and let God.
Yes. Yes.
Can I get an amen?
Amen?
It's time to let go of that. And say, God, I give it to you now. I've gone as far as I could. I need to give it to you now. Listen, you got enough word from someone who was a man of war, and yet God had mercy.
Trust in the Lord.
Trust in the Lord. That's right. You see, in the midst of the most difficult trials in our wilderness experience, Jesus is our rock. How many believe that? And all these things that we are... How many believe you're a conqueror through Christ?
Yes.
Paul wrote this. I love what Paul wrote. Go to me right here. To Romans 8:37. Yet in all these things, we are more than what? Conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things what? To come. Look at this. Nor height, nor debt, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is what? In Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, how many believe that God has a plan for you? Huh? I heard someone say what?
Jeremiah 29.
Oh, you peeked at my nose. So I can't see. I know you back there. But she's right. Jeremiah, look at the hope of our future deliverance is this. Jeremiah 29. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you what? A future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me. And I will listen to you. And you will what? Seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Hallelujah. Saints, Jesus is about ready to come and take the church home. How many believe that? 2,000 years ago, Paul wrote to the Thessalonian and the Corinthian church, and now it's more prevalent today. And when it happens, it's going to be faster than the speed of light. I need you to see this for a moment, and then we're going to pray. But look at this. He wrote this. But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. Those who already died. They're in their grave. Lest you sorrows, others have no hope. That man who died, I shared with you, he had no hope. Look at this. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Meaning believers. How many of you have loved ones that were believers and now they're in their coffins? God's going to bring every one of them first. Oh, that's right. Look at this. Because it says it. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. Say this with me. For the Lord himself. One more time. For the Lord himself. Look at that. Will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Look at this. Then we who are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord. This is how we're going to go. This is what I've been praying. We're going to go in the air. I'm praying that we, none of us in here, will have to experience physical death. That he will take us like this. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words. To further explain this, and then I'm going to show you a clip. Paul wrote to the Corinthians. He says, now this I say, brethren, I want you to touch your flesh. Just touch your hand. That's not going to go up with the Lord. You know why? Because our flesh, our body, praise God. And I know he couldn't take me. I'm too heavy. No. See, we're confined to one of his laws. What law are we confined to on earth? Gravity. Gravity. Listen, if we didn't have gravity, we'd just float away. I'd be like Dumbo, flying away. That's me. Oh, come on. So this lets us know something radically is going to happen very fast. Look at this. It tells you that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Meaning these bodies we live in are still corrupt. We still think about stealing. We still think about cheating. We still think about many other things because we live in a corruptible body. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Meaning we shall not all die and be buried. But we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible. Meaning, they're going to get a brand new body. And we shall be changed. Say that with me. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible, this, our body, must put on incorruption. Meaning, a body that doesn't sin no more. A body that'll never die. A body that can float and fly, can appear, disappear. And guess what? That new body can eat. Jesus ate. Remember, he was seen by 500 people when he rose again. And he had some Rubio fish sandwiches or something. He was on the seashore eating fish and bread. with his disciples. And then he floated back up into heaven. Amen. So I said, man, God, you're going to hook us up. So when this corruptible is put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And this is how it's going to happen. Keep your eyes up here.
Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or he might come next week, or he could even come...
Are you ready? Young and old, are you ready? Here's how you get ready. This scripture I'm going to show you is the key. I shared it with you earlier. If you don't know you were baptized in Jesus' name, then you may want to reconsider. Because the name is the only name, his name can save you. It's found right up here. In Acts 2:38-39, then Peter said to them, repent. Let every one of you, what? Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sin. That means forgiveness of sins. And you shall. Didn't say you might. Didn't say maybe. Didn't say, you know what? I'll text you. No. It says you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all as far off, as many as the Lord God will call. Come on, give God a shout. How many of you are ready to say, you know what, I'm ready when he comes. I've been ready. How many want to get ready today? How many want to get baptized today? Oh, come on. Woo, we got one that want to get baptized here. Anybody back there? Huh? Anybody else? Come on. The water's nice and warm. Oh, we got two. Two. One. Whoa, mother and daughter? Oh, come on. Is there somebody's son back there who want to get baptized? I won't put him on blast, but I'm looking right at him. This is your opportunity. Before we close out and dismiss, and then I'm excited. I'm excited for you and your mom. You know why? Because God called you here this day. You're not here by coincidence. You didn't hear by invitation. God planned this day for you too. Can I get an amen? God saw on his plan going into eternity that both of you were on his plan. And you're here now, fulfilling by faith the plan. Listen, for those of you that are all here, what I want to encourage you all, stick around until they get baptized. Or stick around. Be a support. Don't just say, oh yeah, there's another soul gonna say, I gotta go home. You know what? I'm gonna run to my fish taco place. They might be all gone. Help us, Jesus. Amen. Stick around, saints. You know why? Because if it was you, I'd ask them to stick around for you too. Amen. Can I get amen?
Amen?
If we can't be together with this, who are we? Who's the church? That means more things are more important out than other than what you're about to. You're about to see someone going into eternity. They're not taking a bus ride to Disneyland. They're not going to Magic Mountain. They're going to a place where there'll be no more death, no more crying, no more sorrow, no more pain. Hallelujah, we're going to live forever. And we will worship the King. Oh, we're going to worship the King. And so, those of you that are on Facebook and YouTube, we want to extend an invitation to you and ask the Amazing Grace to pray with me, to pray for you, that you too, no matter where you're at, I know some of you log in from Texas. Some of you log in from Arkansas, Florida. You're all over the place logging in. Someone said you're going to be preaching to a million people. Well, guess what? That's how it's done. They just start sharing the links and people are watching. Can I get amen? That's how it gets done. It doesn't have to be a giant facility. It could be just this little spot right here.
Amen.
And reaching the world.
That's right.
So I'm going to ask everyone to pray with me, to pray for you, that you would give your heart to the Lord God. Pray this simple prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I thank you for what you are doing in my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Is he worthy? We want to encourage you, those who gave your heart to Christ there.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.